Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews chapter number 13. I began a series some time ago on Wednesday night, book of Hebrews, or chapter 13 of Hebrews, on spiritual exhortation. And there are five main exhortations in this chapter, and we're going to look at the fourth one tonight and pray that God will help us as we share from the Word of God. We've already talked about the spiritual fellowship. We talked about the spiritual treasures, spiritual fellowship found verses 1 through 4, talking about the brotherly love and fellowship of love and strangers even and marriage and so forth, spiritual fellowship. Then we talked about spiritual treasures in verse 5 and 6. The Lord is my helper in verse 6. Then in verses 7 through 10, last week we talked about spiritual food. We dealt with that in pastor and people relationship, but concluded that the Word of God is our need, that we feed on that Word, and I pray that we'll be able to share that with you tonight also, and God have His way. Tonight we're going to be talking about spiritual sacrifice. Spiritual sacrifice. I want you to stand, please, while I read verse number 11, beginning there. For the bodies of those priests, the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. Boy, I like that. That he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Let's bow our heads and ask God to help us. Father, thank you again just for a moment of prayer. And Lord, for thy word that we have just read, I pray you take your word, speak to our hearts tonight, and I pray you'd help us, God, to share. And we'd all think about the sacrifices that you're pleased with, and help us, God, to yield ourselves in obedience to thy word, make thy word alive to us, and speak to every heart of every life. Every individual present will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. And talking about these spiritual exhortations, of course, he's talking to saved people. And if you're not saved, then certainly the spiritual exhortation for you would be come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Listen to the Holy Spirit as he brings conviction, that's something inside that pulls at you and draws you and tells you that you're unsaved and that you need Jesus. That's him, amen. And you can need to listen to him and let him help you. And that spiritual exhortation for you is, come unto me, Jesus said. All you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that hears say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. I'm glad we can take that water of life freely. And that's for everybody. If you're not saved, you can come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight. Now, looking in this, in the book of Hebrews itself, and thinking about it, somebody put it like this, and I thought it was real good. They said the book of Hebrews could be broken down into two parts, really, in comparison with the Old Testament, and that is within the veil, and that's where we have fellowship with Christ, and then without the camp, that's when you go out to witness for Christ, and I say amen to that. That's a pretty good thought, and I like that. And so we see the messages here of Hebrews, and he's talking about that veil and being ripped from top to bottom. Aren't you glad you got a living way to come and worship God and thank God for that? And then that going without. In verse 11 through 13, he's talking about these Jewish people were being tempted to go back into Judaism. And they were in that battle And so he's talking to them about that, talking about the bodies of those beasts that were brought in the priest. They went without the camp and burned them. And then he went in verse number 12 and said, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate, outside the gate. I believe in my heart that Golgotha, place where Jesus was crucified, is outside the gate, outside the city of Jerusalem. He was crucified and forsaken there on that cross. And you're talking about him going outside the camp. It's a real picture of what the Old Testament pictures so well as they did that. And then he said in verse 13, let us, talking to us now, and save people, go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And so being a Christian is not the most popular thing in the world today, but thank God it's the best thing in the world. It may not be the most popular, but it's the best thing in the world that we can be is an old-time Christian. Thank God for the reality of it. And then we come down to verse number 14. It says, here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And we're not settled in down here. We're looking for that new Jerusalem and that city of God. So he said here we don't have a continuing city. It's not nailed down anywhere down here. And so we're going to look at, he's setting the stage, he's getting it ready. They've been tempted to go back into Judaism. And of course the sacrifices are being alluded to here. And then the city's talked about. And it's not in the city. I'm thankful for Jerusalem. I've said it recently many times. I'm all for Israel. I am not against Jewish people. I am for them. Thank God for them. And I want them to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. But Jerusalem is not our answer tonight. And even the hill where Jesus crucified is not our answer. It's not even a piece of wood is not our answer that they say may be a part of the cross. That's not our answer. Our answer is in him. In him. Hallelujah. And he's in heaven at the right hand of the Father. And so I know where he is. And I know he's interceding for me tonight, right now. And I can come in and worship him and adore him right now. And I praise God for that and thank God for it. But then he begins talking about the sacrifices that God is well pleased with. Remember in the Old Testament, they sacrificed lamb after lamb, cow after cow, and goat after goat. They did it over and over and over and over again. But oh, praise God. There is no more sacrifice for sin now. Once and forever, he made the sacrifice, Hebrews chapter 10 says. And so you and I don't have to worry about making another sacrifice or seeing what sacrifice. He is well pleased. And the Father said he was well pleased in the book of Isaiah chapter 53. He talked about it in that he was pleased with that sacrifice that Jesus Christ was going to make at Calvary. And he made it, and I thank God for it. But then sacrifices that we can make that pleases God also we want to deal with tonight. I want you to turn with me, please, in the book of 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 5. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5. Just look at that with me right quickly. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, here's what he said. He says, you are holy priesthood. And we've mentioned that before, that we are a holy priesthood. We are in the priesthood. Now, Jesus is a high priest, but every saved person is in the priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Boy, being saved is really a great privilege. What a joy it is to be saved, a child of God. We are saints in him. We are priests in him. And we have the privilege to offer sacrifices unto him that pleases him. Not for salvation now. Salvation, the sacrifice for salvation has been made, completed, it's over, it's done with. But we can offer sacrifices. And that's what he said in the priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. I like that. Now back in our text, please. In verse number 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I say hallelujah. That sacrifice, every time you stand and give praise to him, every time you bow at home and say thank you, it gives a sacrifice of praise unto him. He is well pleased with that. I say hallelujah. Aren't you glad? I thought about Sister Nadine standing up a while ago, and she's just praising God, thanking God, and giving God thanks. Some others did. And I say hallelujah, thanking God for forgiveness when we don't deserve it, but we get it anyway. I say praise God. I every time we thank God for a privilege, I know Brother Woodworth, what a privilege. They listened to him pray as he started out praying, thanking God we had the privilege to come to church. And that is a privilege. Come to the house of God tonight, glory. Hallelujah, that's a joy. That's a privilege, sure enough. And give God thanks as a sacrifice as given to him, and he's pleased with it. As we sacrifice and we sing songs about thanking him and praising him and do all of that, well, let's continue doing it because it gives him praise. And that's a sacrifice that he's well pleased with that you and I can do as we do that. And then look in verse number 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. He said to do good works, to doing good. Now, us Baptists, we know we're saved by grace through faith. But let me remind you that those two favorite verses we have, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But the next verse says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so we are to have good works in our lives. That's a good sacrifice to God, having good works. And said to forget not to communicate, that is to share with each other and folks that are in need. And so that those things are sacrifices unto God that he's well pleased with. I don't have to bring a lamb or anything, but I'm thanking. That sacrifice he's pleased with. I can help somebody or and do some good work somewhere. He's pleased with that. Now, we trying to, in a sense, downplay doing right because we wanted to make sure everybody understands by grace through faith you're saved. But when we're talking about doing right and doing that that's right and good, it's not for salvation. It's because we are saved. Amen. And because we are saved, we have a desire to please him and to do those things pleasing in his sight. God's pleased with that kind of sacrifice of doing good and just doing good. Amen. I like it. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. There's another sacrifice God's well pleased with, is our bodies. He wants our body. What? No, you're not. Your body's a temple of God, and you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your body belongs to the Lord. Amen. And it's God's. And so tonight you need to treat it as such. It's a sacrifice unto God, a living sacrifice. God's not, somebody said, I'd die for the Lord. That's well and good if you would, but he's not looking for you to necessarily die for him. He's looking for you to live for him. And we need some folk today who will live for God and treat. And let me just plug this in right here. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, and it pleases God to give your body a living sacrifice. Then that means this body, our hands, our eyes, our feet, our everything about us belongs to him, and we are to praise him with it and to use it for his glory as he leads us and guides and gives us the opportunity to do so. Amen. And I'll just plug this in while I'm at it. And I realize some folk have tattoos and they regret they ever got them. That happened before they got saved and that kind of thing. And I'm not going to say anything about that. God forgave that and that's for sale. But this marking your body is getting to be a big thing today. Young folk, you don't do that. Amen. If God wanted some kind of a picture on your arm, he'd have painted it there. Or your leg, or your neck, or you say, preacher, you ought not preach like that. I know, but I am anyway. Amen. I just believe that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And as we mark it up today, and so much of that's compounding on our young people that we need to warn them, and so they at least have heard somebody say, don't do that. And I pray when that temptation comes for them to do that, they remember a preacher standing in the pulpit saying, you ought not to do that because your body belongs to God. And your body ought to be a living sacrifice unto God and let God take your body and use it for his glory. It is important what you do with your body. It's important how you treat your body. It's important how we take care of the body. So all that's important because it's a sacrifice unto God that He's well pleased with. And I praise His name. I want you to turn with me in Philippians. I'm giving you about seven tonight, so I've got three already. Let's look at number four in Philippians chapter number, chapter four, I guess. Yeah, chapter four and verse 18. I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphras the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Did you see that? Now in verse 19 said, but my God supply all your need according to His riches in glory. But right before that, He's telling you what kind of sacrifice He's pleased with. That's a sacrifice of giving and offering. And they had took some offering up, or somehow Fred had brought a gift to Paul to help him along the way. It's like us helping our missionaries along their way. We give the mission so they can go and carry the gospel. Paul was out carrying the gospel, and somebody brought them an offering, and he said that God was pleased with that kind of a sacrifice. I say hallelujah. I'm glad I get to do that, amen. I'm glad I get to be a part of sacrifice. And when we say sacrifice, we use that word kind of loosely, I guess. But as we do it with all of our hearts and do it as God would have us to do it, it's a sacrifice that God is well pleased with, that we may help somebody else carry the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ or bring an offering to church. God's pleased with that. God's pleased with giving. Amen. You say, preacher, you ought not preach on that. I know, but I'm doing it again. Amen. Because God's pleased with it, He'll bless you for it, and you'll get the blessing out of it. Did you know you can't outgive God anyway? I don't care how much you try, you'll never outgive God. God's always ahead of you, and He'll bless you and help you. You say, well, you reckon if I give, I ever get it rough? Well, sure, you may do it. And the devil will tell you, see there, you ought not done that. But then God will turn around and dump a bucket full out on you. Amen, help you. And you'll say, whoop, I'm glad I did. Amen. I was like, whoop, amen, Brother Grubbs. Glory to God. He knows what a whoop is. Amen. And I praise God for that. Hey, I'm glad we get to give, aren't you?
Yeah. Amen.
You check out the temperature, spiritual temperature of a congregation when you say you're glad to give. God loves a cheerful giver. That means a hilarious one. And I'm still looking to take an offering up, and people get to laugh and say, whoopee, I get to give. Amen. That'd be joy. Amen. All right, we're talking about spiritual sacrifices tonight. And we're talking about praise, praising Him or thanking Him and giving Him praise and glory and thanks and all that. And then our good works and our body and our giving. But I want you to turn with me, please, in Psalms 141. Psalms 141, verse number 2. Listen to this. Here's another way, a sacrifice that God is pleased with. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Now notice he said as the evening sacrifice. He's praying. He's talking about praying. He said it's like incense brought in. You remember in the holy place when they came to the altar of incense, that incense would go over the curtain into the holies of holies. And there's where God met with His people. As we pray, He said, my prayer be like incense coming in the presence of God. And let it be like a sacrifice unto God, my prayer. Boy, praying. A while ago, we was around the altar praying. I don't want what you were praying about, what you did, but I kind of got caught up praying a while ago. I'm glad I did. Kind of forgot about you and who was here or anything's going to happen. I just wanted to talk to God. And how precious it is. God's pleased with that kind of sacrifice. And as you pray, and it may not always be out loud. It may be praying going down the road, or it may be praying somewhere else. You don't have to bow your head and close your eyes to pray, by the way. I don't want you driving down the road with your eyes closed. But you can pray with your eyes open and watch where you're going. And you can pray on the job as you do your work. You can pray. And need to be in a continual state of prayer anyhow. Amen. And God's pleased that kind of a sacrifice. And so may God help us as we do that and as we pray to the sacrifice unto God. In Psalm 51, in verse number 17, and it says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. God will not despise. He's saying this, God's pleased when we're a broken people. Now, when I say broken, I'm not talking about broken in the sense of our spirit being broken or that we don't have joy. I'm talking about being broken over souls and broken over in the sight of a holy God as we pray and as we go about our daily walk of life, that we realize that we are nothing in ourselves and can do nothing. I was talking to somebody just recently, and they was talking about how unworthy and unfit in ourselves we are, and they were talking about themselves, and I said, I'm glad you feel that way. I'm thankful you feel that way, because really we all need to feel that way, because how in the world could God ever use any of us? Outside the grace of God and the mercy of God, God couldn't use anybody in this house. Amen. It's just the grace of God, God saved us. Grace of God, He let us serve Him. Amen. The grace of God, we've got to come to the house of God tonight. And so these sacrifices, he's pleased with a broken spirit. I remember Gideon, I mentioned him not long ago, but can't help but think about him. When they broke the pitchers, which is a picture of us being broken, the light did shine. And that's why he's talking about being broken vessels. He's pleased with that kind. See, David had sinned, and he'd come short of the glory of God, and he was repenting, and he was broken, and God said he's pleased with that kind of sacrifice. Hey, when we repent with that kind of repentance, he's pleased with it. That sacrifice, he loves, and he does. And Brother Gary mentioned again, I mentioned in fact what he said, how wonderful it is, what a gracious thought it is that God forgives me when I've done wrong. He never fails to forgive me when I come in Jesus' name, plead the blood, and ask and confess my sin. He has never failed to forgive me yet. Amen. Amen. Has he ever failed to forgive you of your sin? One time ever come short? That's worth another whoop, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God and whoop it up, amen. That sacrifice God is pleased with. We confess our sin and let God know. But I got one more I want to give you. That was the sixth one. I want to give you seven tonight. I want you to turn with me, please, over in the book of Romans chapter 15. Book of Romans chapter number 15 and verse number 16. Listen to what God says here. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up, now notice that offering up, of the Gentiles may be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. What he's saying is, it's a sacrifice unto God. When we get people saved and they're going to live for God, he's pleased with that kind of sacrifice. He likes that when we reach somebody else for Jesus. Somebody else gets saved. You're a witness for Christ, and you lead somebody to Christ. You help somebody get right with God. That's a sacrifice God is pleased with. He desires that. He's not looking for a lamb or a goat or a cow. He's looking for sacrifices out of our lives to praise Him and to thank Him and our bodies to be living sacrifice. He's looking for us to do good works and do that we ought to do and show others the way and help them. He's looking for those who will pray. That's a good sacrifice unto God. He's looking for those who will do what he said to do in praying and asking God to have his way, praying in the will of God. He's looking for broken spirits. He's looking that we be broken before him. Let him help us day by day. Then he's looking for others to come to know Christ. I want to be a part of helping somebody come to know Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Spiritual sacrifices. I'm thankful tonight that we can offer sacrifices unto God, which gives Him glory, which He tells us in His Word that there are sacrifices unto Him that He's pleased with and that He looks for. And so tonight, what about your life? What about my life? Are we being the sacrifices or making the sacrifices that God's looking for in our lives for His glory and for His honor? God's speaking to your heart. It may be you're unsaved tonight. I don't know everybody that's here. I don't know everybody's heart. Fact is, I don't know anybody's heart. Fact is, I don't even know my own heart without God helping me. You don't yours without God's help. But let's let God help us right now to know our hearts and see if God's saying something to us that we may need to act on, something we may need to do, something that God would be well pleased with. And I don't know where you are tonight about that spiritually, but I pray what we've said tonight, God will take it, make it real in my life and your life, and that we'll daily think about. God's pleased with this kind of a sacrifice unto him. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name, should there be one here lost, that you speak to their heart. I pray the Holy Spirit bring conviction, make it surreal to them that they'll not be able to get away from it, but they'll want to come to know Jesus. Then, Father, maybe those here tonight that you're speaking to about their sacrificing in their lives, and they need to come, find their place, and bow and pray. Lord, I pray tonight that you just have your way, magnify yourself, you get glory. And Father, surely I desire in my heart to make the sacrifices that please you and bring glory to you. And I pray tonight you'd help all of us, God, as we go day by day, do those things pleasing in your sight, that it may please you and sacrifices be acceptable. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Won't you stand, please?